Last week, I talked about our call to reset our attention, to reset our focus on God, to reset our focus on Jesus. This is a month in which we are resetting things. And today, we're continuing thinking through this by looking at another term, renew. So, for those of us who have reset our attention on Jesus, we're also called to renew our minds, to allow God to transform us, and to renew our thoughts into ways that God would desire us to live. But we have a big challenge, which is the world that also wants to capture our thoughts and our minds. So today, I'm going to be a bit honest about my own struggle with my tendency, should we say, to allow the world to shape my mind and thoughts. And perhaps together, we can make a plan and an opportunity to allow God to renew our minds together. So thanks for being with us. I'll pray for you if you pray for me as we allow the Spirit of God to renew our minds today.
Good morning, kids. It is time for your kids' moment. Come on closer to the screen. Have any of you ever had a Transformer toy? These toys have been around for over 35 years, and they are some of the best-selling toys of all time. The basic plot behind the toys was that there were these robots who lived on a different planet. They started to fight against each other for power there. Some wanted to use their power for good, while others wanted to use it for evil. In order to disguise themselves, the robots came to Earth, but changed themselves into cars and boats and airplanes and other modes of transportation. They were robots in disguise. It's fun to see something transformed. You know, the Bible says that we can be changed too. Today, Pastor Ricky is going to share about how the world can sometimes try to make us feel afraid, angry, or alone, but God wants to transform us. We need to think of ourselves as a little like Transformer toys. We are one thing, human, yes, and that's easy to see. But we don't always see the way God is transforming our spirits when we follow Christ. Isn't it exciting for us to know that we can be transformed by the power of God? So whenever you see a Transformer toy, you think about the way God is always working to transform us into something even better. We'll see you next week.
Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
I remember the exact moment that it happened. July 12th, 2011, the day before my son Henry was born. That's the day that I bought my first iPhone. I had been considering it, but had resisted for a long time buying any kind of smartphone, but with the birth of our first child, the thought was, well, as a new parent, I need to be able to take tons of pictures. And a smartphone was the good idea. And since that day, it has become, not surprisingly, an indispensable part of my life. I use it to listen to podcasts, to check emails, I check the news, I check Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Amazingly, even from time to time, I'll use it to make a phone call. Who'd have known, right? So much so that I never leave home without my cell phone. Of course, I use it to check social media, always wanting to know what's on Facebook, what people are posting, pictures people are sharing. And I can't imagine living my life now without this device. And I'm beginning to think that it's killing me. Like a lot of us, I have a sneaking suspicion that I may be addicted to this thing. And I think a lot of Americans find themselves addicted to their smartphone or at least some sort of application on it, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or their email app. They're constantly connected, right? We never really get away from work or get away from each other or get away from any of this influx of news. For a lot of us, even during the pandemic, our only exercise of the day was scrolling with our finger. We have developed new rhythms of life that are dominated by the notifications, the beeps, and the buzzes that distract us and that call our attention back to this device. What's more is that our self-worth seems now to be determined by likes and emojis and comments and how many shares our post gets. It's sad but true that a lot of us now are divided more than ever because we only see the news that reinforces our own opinion. And the more we click on a link that we like, the more that we get served that same type of information. Let me ask you a question. What's the first thing you do in the morning? For a lot of us, it's check our phone. See what happened overnight. Who emailed us? Who called us? Who texted us? What did we miss? What's the last thing you do before you go to bed? Check your phone. See what happened in those 15 seconds since you last checked it. I'm not blaming. I'm confessing. I'm caught up in this same web of over-communication. But have you noticed something? Have you noticed that you don't pay for any of it? It's all free, right? Facebook and Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, it's all free right there. Just download the app, sign up for an account, and it's free. There's a movie I watched recently. It was recommended to me by about 50 people before I watched it. It's called The Social Dilemma, and it's a documentary interviewing the creators of all of these applications. 99% of these creators have left these businesses because of what they realize it's doing to us. And a quote from that has been ringing in my mind since I watched the movie, and it's simply this observation. Remember how we don't pay for any of those things? They're all free. None of it cost us anything. And the quote is this: if you don't pay for the product, then you are the product. You see, social media, these phones, these devices, the applications that we download and use on them, they make their money off of our attention. They make ad revenue into the trillions of dollars every year based on how often we stay glued to our phones. The more money they make, the sicker we become. I think we are addicted to the need to refresh our social media feeds. But this is not God's desire for us. Instead, we are called to renew our minds. I want to read you a passage from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 12th chapter. It's verses 1 and 2. It's a very brief chapter, but it's in a part of a larger section in which Paul is calling Christians to live reflecting our beliefs. It's quite simple, right? If we're to be Christians, our lives should look different. Hear this in Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul begins this section in the 12th chapter with a reminder to us that we are embodied creatures. We have a body. Everything that we think, say, or do, we do in this body. Every action, every choice, every decision that we make, every post on Facebook is a way of us presenting our bodies to one another. You probably notice it's a little bit hard these days to present our bodies when we have a mask on, right? We're trying to smile with our eyes, right? Everything that we do, we're presenting our bodies to one another. And Paul says we can't help but use our bodies. But we, as believers in Jesus, are to present our bodies at all times as a living sacrifice. Now, in case that doesn't make sense, remember when Paul uses this word sacrifice, he has a particular sacrifice in mind. He, in his mind, is connecting it to the what we would think of as the Old Testament sacrificial worship system. The temple of God in Jerusalem and the temple out in the wilderness tabernacle was designed to be a place of sacrifice. Right? The people of God were called to sacrifice to God things like pigeons and sheep, bulls and rams. There was an elaborate system of how to do it because these offerings were intended to atone for sin. They were to celebrate a good harvest, to give thanks to God for the birth of a child. And God called us to sacrifice so that when we would hand over a portion of our wealth to God, we would remember from whom all blessings flow. And as these sacrifices were burned on the altar of the Lord, as the smoke rose, it would be a tangible sign of our prayers of gratitude and our prayers of intercession, a tangible sign of those prayers rising to the heavens and to be carried to God. These sacrifices were the way that we showed our allegiance and our love of God. And what Paul is saying to the church is that for those of us who are in Christ, remember those of us who have set our face on Christ, we are called not to sacrifice, but to be a sacrifice, to offer our very lives as a sacrifice to God, so that everything that we say, everything that we do at every moment of our life should be done as an offering to God, holy and pleasing. But one quick check online reveals that a lot of us a lot of us who follow Jesus are presenting something altogether different. And so Paul wants to challenge us to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. See, the world, for its entire existence, has been inundating us with advertising and telling us what to wear and what to listen to, what to buy and who to vote for. It's always been this way, right? Billboards, commercials. You know, I grew up in that horrible time in which when the commercial came on, you actually had to sit through the whole thing. Amazing, right? Remember those days? Now we can just fast forward. And so advertisers have gotten much more savvy about trying to form us into the consumers they want us to be. And the difference between those old days of billboards and magazine articles and commercials is that now we just carry them all around with us all the time. And every time we look up a video or a Facebook post or a picture, as we scroll, those ads go by, and a lot of us don't even notice it. Social media is perfectly designed to manipulate our feelings and manipulate our thoughts to show us who we're supposed to be and to keep us always wanting more. Always wanting to check one more time, one more refresh of our feed. It's designed to keep us hooked. And this peer pressure is on a global scale, so much so that, like I said, most of us don't even know it's happening. But Paul, from 2,000 years ago, knows that it's happening. In fact, Paul knew what it was like to live in a world in which there were so many different influences seeking to form you into a certain identity. He had basically traveled the known world of his day. He knew multiple languages. He was a tradesman who interacted with Jewish and Greek and Roman and Persian and Egyptian cultures. He was cosmopolitan in all the best senses of that word, right? He saw the power to conform to certain ways of dressing, certain ways of communicating, certain diets to keep, certain languages to speak if you wanted to get ahead. He knew and felt that pressure to go along to get along. Paul didn't have an iPhone, but he knew what it was like to see people bitterly divided by tribe and culture, language and cult. Paul's probably a better observer of human nature than we are ourselves these days, because he knew what it was like to live in a world that was forming us. And the only question he wants us to consider is, who is forming you? Who is shaping you? What is shaping your thoughts? Paul says that for those of us following Christ, we are called to renew our minds. The way that we can resist being conformed to this world and transformed in the kingdom is to renew our minds. And again, this phrase is typical Paul, so much so that he uses a similar phrase in many places of his letters, which makes you kind of ask, what does he mean by this? He'll talk about how we are to evaluate our thoughts and our minds, that we are to have the same mind in us that was in Christ Jesus. Paul believes that one of the daily tasks of Christian believers is to allow our minds to be shaped into the mind of Christ, to have a daily renewal of the thought patterns and ideas and wisdom of God. He wants us to have this ongoing conversation with God so that God over time can shape us into the image of His Son. Now, it's easy to say, renew your mind. How? Right? How do we do that? Well, again, I think it's as simple as living into the rhythms of God. This rhythm of worship and prayer, of reading the Scriptures and serving other people. This rhythm of showing mercy, of offering forgiveness, a rhythm of asking for forgiveness, and a rhythm of rest, of stopping our work, of stopping our labor, of resting in God. As Christians, we renew our minds every day by what we do with our bodies, by who and what we give our attention to, by what we watch and what we read, how we speak and what we post online. So, what then should we do? Now, I know it's easy to hear this sermon and think, well, this is just Ricky kind of getting mad at his phone and taking it out on the world, right? It's not that. I think there's a lot of good that this technology brings. And I know that it's unrealistic to say the best thing we could do is just throw these things away and go back to our landlines. No, it's a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad. And like anything in life, we're called to use the tools of this creation in service to the kingdom of God. Now, an example of this is the irony that I'm speaking to many of you on Facebook Live, right? I'm not anti-Facebook, but I am encouraging us to think about how our minds are being shaped by the things of this world, and asking ourselves if we might renew our minds in ways that build up the kingdom rather than tear each other down. Now, like any good diet recommendation, right? The good diets will tell you don't just give things up completely, but eat things in moderation. So that's what I'm going to ask us to consider. Not giving up technology, not giving up social media or emails or our phones, but consider a few simple moderating steps. I want to ask you to consider just a few small changes in your life. Something that I've done is turn off the notifications on your phone, so that my phone doesn't buzz and beep every time somebody tags me in a picture or sends me an email, every time there's a new video posted by someone who's going to make me mad. I don't get those notifications anymore. This thing is basically a brick until I pick it up and I decide to turn it on and check. So consider doing that. Turn off the notifications so that the thing isn't always demanding that you look at it. Second, I want you to evaluate your morning and evening routines. Just ask yourself, what's the first thing you do in the morning? And what's the last thing you do before you go to bed? And if the answer to that is check my phone, then maybe simply just change your morning routine and say, before I check my phone, I'm going to spend a few moments in prayer. Or before I check Facebook, I'm going to read one psalm from the Bible. Before I go to bed, the last thing that I'm going to do, instead of posting on Facebook how I'm mad at somebody, I'm going to call a family member and tell them I love them and that I hope they have a good night's sleep. See, you don't have to give your phone up. Just change the way you start and end your day. Then I have one more request, the third option, and I know this is going to be very, very difficult for some of you. I want you to consider taking a social media or phone Sabbath. Choose one whole 24-hour day and give this up. Just for that day. You can have it back the next day. Choose one day. Maybe it's one day a month. Maybe some of you are bold enough to even try one day a week. But give it up. Take a Sabbath. And allow the mind that God gave you to be renewed by something else. Now, I'm going to give you a warning because I've experienced myself. You may go through some withdrawals. But over time, you might also actually find yourself, like the Apostle Paul writes, with a renewed mind, able to discern what is good, what is acceptable, what is pleasing to God. Amen. Friends, this past week has been an amazing time here at the church. We began last Sunday by confirming our young adult, 17 people who stepped forward to say yes to following Jesus. We had a great garage sale, again, postponed for months, but finally able to offer this opportunity for our community to help raise money for our missions. And thank you for everyone who stepped up to volunteer and serve. Also today, many of you are offering a very tangible expression of your love for one of our church members by participating in our blood drive here at the church. This week has just been an amazing week of people offering themselves in service and in witness, in love and in compassion. It's a generous spirit that we've seen this week. And in many ways, all I can say today is thank you. Thank you for your generosity, both in those ways of being present, but also for your generosity and your gifts. It's because of your gifts that we're able to do things like provide spaces for our young people to know more about Jesus, to provide an opportunity for people to learn and to grow together in Sunday school, to provide a place for worship, and to provide for this opportunity to extend our community virtually. So thank you for your generous spirit and for your gifts. And I would, as always, encourage you, if you're able, to continue to give so generously. You can do that by mailing your check here to the church at 100 Mount Salis, or by giving safely and securely online at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. Your generosity makes an eternal difference. So thank you. Thank you. Amen.